and Holy Spirit. I invariably use a text. I wouldn't dare preach without a script. But every rule has its exception, and today is one. When I had my first Sunday here, I happened to mention in passing the way in which I used the opportunity for what was called the Bible in Schools program, and how I would take the opportunity to tell children the stories of people who have been the heroes of the faith, which seemed to be well received by parents and board governors. And I promised that I would tell you one of the stories next Sunday, but then earthquakes got in the way, and the Hodgson boys, and Anglicans, and so on. So, second Sunday, never not today, is a day. The old Book of Common Prayer has in front of it a list of saints. And when the New Zealand Prayer Book was written, this book, it too had a list of saints in it. But they were saints which were chosen, selected if you like, by the New Zealand Anglican Church. Of course, it's got all the ones, Peter, Paul, John, and all the rest. But it's also got some other saints and heroes of the faith, which you may not necessarily find in other prayer books. And if you'd like to take this prayer book and turn to the calendar for January, because there's one for each day of the month, each month of the year, you will see that on the third day of January, the commemoration is for a woman called Gladys Aylmer, whom some of you may have heard about, and some of you may not. But I think this story is most remarkable. Gladys Aylmer was born in London in 1902. She came from a humble home, but one where she was brought up within the faith. And she learned about God and his son Jesus, and they became very real to her. And on some particular occasion, she made up her mind, when she called by God, something happened to her, that she wanted to be a missionary to China. That was her ambition, her vocation. And in order to be a missionary to China, you needed to train. So she went to a missionary college. But before very long, the principals of the college sent her and said, "My dear, you're a nice girl, but bluntly, you haven't got it. And you would be much better to think about some other form of Christian activity. Have you thought about service, being in some household, as people did in those days?" And Gladys was taken aback and rather heartbroken. And she went into service. But she never lost the vision that God had called her to missionary work in China. The question was, how? Then one day, by a long series of events, a letter came to her. It seemed that in some far distant village in China, there was a woman called Jenny Lawson, who was a one-woman mission station, where the work was hard. And she was getting old, and she was asking herself, "Who will replace me here when I die?" And somehow or other, the inquiry filtered through to Gladys. And she said, "This is it. This is where I'm going." And people said to her, "You're crazy, Gladys. It's not safe." And she said, "It doesn't matter. God, Jesus, will protect me. He is with me wherever I go, so I'm quite confident." Well, she did eventually get to China through a series of adventures, crossing Europe because it was a cheaper way to travel rather than going by boat. But in the end, she finished up in China, and she took a mule train which took her to this little village, and there she met Jenny Lawson. And there she was happy because she said to herself, "Now I may start my life's work." But it wasn't like that at all. Because Chinese people didn't really want white people, and they spat at her and said, "Go home, foreign devil." And she was very taken aback by this. And Jenny Lawson said, "Well, what else do you speak? That's what I've been put up with for years. That's the cost of promoting the gospel." And so she consoled herself by saying, "Well, it's really not perhaps what I expected. It's harder. But Jesus is with me. Jesus will protect me." And she had that inner faith that gave her contentment and consolation. Now slowly, bit by bit, she formed a relationship with some people in the village, and one of them was the mandarin, the mayor. who got to know her a little. She learned to speak the language, she was learning, and they had a sort of respect for each other. Now one day, Gladys was at home, when there was a pounding at the door. And she went to the door, and there was a Chinese man saying, "Miss Aylward, you come quick." And she said, "What? What's all this about?" "The Mandarin, he has sent for you, you've got to come." And she said, "I'm busy, but you must come at once." And he grabbed her by the hand and half dragged her and half ran down the street. Gladys protesting all the way, "What on earth is all this about?" As they got down the street, she heard a noise of shouting, a noise of screaming, a noise of pain. She turned around the corner, and there she saw a group of people, including the Mandarin and some soldiers, standing outside the gate of what she later learned was the local prison. They spent promptly inside the prison with coming most terrible noises. The Mandarin said, "Ah, thank goodness you have come. We need you." She said, "What is happening?" He said, "Look." And he pointed through the iron bars of the prison where you could see the courtyard inside. And there in the courtyard was mayhem. There were bodies on the ground. There was blood everywhere. There were prisoners huddled in a corner. And there was another prisoner with the most enormous meat chopper. And as he rushed towards the prisoners in one corner, they screamed and yelled and ducked over the other corner. It obviously killed one or two. It was a riot. Gladys looked inside and said, "Well, what's it got to do with me?" And he said, the Mandarin said, "It's got to be stopped." And she said, "Of course, send your soldiers in." "They are too scared," said the Mandarin. "They will get killed." "Well, why do you want me?" The Mandarin said, "I want you to go inside the prison and tell them they've got to stop." And Claire said, "Me? They'll kill me." And the Mandarin said, "Oh no, they won't. Jesus will protect you. He will keep you safe." Gladys went cold inside, and her mouth went dry. It was perfectly true. She had always been saying this whenever she got the opportunity. Now she knew that if she backed off, she might as well pack up and go back to England. Nobody would believe a word she said. She thought for a moment. She uttered a silent prayer of terror and hope within her heart. Trembling all over, she said, "All right, open the gate." The gate of the prison was open. Gladys was shoved inside, and the gate was bolted behind her. Inside the prison yard, everybody turned to see what was happening. There and inside stood Gladys alone. The prisoners and the man with the chopper suddenly forgot what they were doing and looked in astonishment at this woman all on her own. Then the man with the chopper advanced after her and lifted the chopper up over his head. He was going to attack her. But she fixed her eye and said, "Put that thing down." And slowly he lowered. And she said, "Give it to me." And she took it and passed it out through the gates of the prison to those who were watching outside. Then she said, "Sit down, all of you." And they did. And she said, "Now what is all this about?" And instantly all the complaints came that they weren't fed properly, they weren't given opportunities to do this and so on. A list of complaints that no one had ever taken any notice of. And Gladys said, "All right. Now, if I go and tell the Mandarin that he's got to do something about this, do you promise to behave yourselves?" "Yes." So out she went and said, "This is what's going to happen."
The prison was cleaned up, conditions were improved, the crisis was over. So the Mandarin and the Chinese people learned what Gladys meant when she said, "Jesus will protect me. He keeps me safe." And if you're a classroom for children, there's a blackboard there, then I would go and write on it. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." Because that is what I would be hoping to teach them. Just in the little story, Gladys died, and Gladys had many more adventures, and she was particularly famous because she started an orphanage, and she had 94 orphans. And in 1938, when the Japanese began to invade northern China, they had to escape. And she led her orphans through the mountains, day by day, walking all the way, until eventually they came to safety. After the war, Gladys went back to England and then returned to China, which she had to settle in Taiwan. She died there in 1970. Her story came to light, and it was made into a film called The End of the Sixth Happiness, and some of you may have seen it. The story of Gladys Taylor, missionary, the woman who believed that Jesus kept her safe because he said, "I am always with you."